open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Welcome back, Bison fans, to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast, and we have a jam-packed show for you tonight, or this morning, or whenever the heck you're listening to this. But we've got Bison junior point guard Sam Griesel. We've got the audio version of the BRTV episode, my discussion with Joshua Streit, the newest addition to North Dakota State men's basketball, and right here is Sam Westrick. Sam, how are we doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. It's a great week to be a Bison fan. I mean, coming off of a 4-0 start to the Summit League season, rivalry weekend with UND, the basketball team's record is back to 500 after that absolutely ridiculous start to the season, and I think you got to be pretty excited with where the football staff is at, as we've got some breaking news. Or not breaking. It has broken.
Just news.
Yeah, exactly. Just news.
So yeah, the Bison go out, as you had said, that go out and get Joe Beshorner out of Mankato State, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, this guy. No disrespect to anybody else on the staff, but he might be the most potent offensive mind they've got. This guy is absolutely bonkers as far as. So 2019, the NSIC canceled, right? The 2020 season, and they moved some weird format in the spring. In 2019, my man dropped in a 5-game stretch an average of 66.4 points, and over a 3-game stretch put an average of 72.3 points on conference opponents. Let me just list off the offensive output at MSU Mankato in 2019, so people can get a feel for Mr. Beshorner. 38 against Southwest Minnesota State, 27 on Augustana, 29 on Concordia St. Paul, 20 against Winona, and then something happened. I don't know what it was, but something happened. 52 on Duluth, 39 at Northern, 74 on UMary, 81 on Crookston, 62 on Wayne State, 42 on Sioux Falls, 73 on Upper Iowa, and then ultimately, averaged well over 40 points a game in the NCAA Division II playoffs. I'm impressed. This is a hell of a hire, and kudos go to Matt Entz and Tyler Roll for adding to this offensive staff.
81 to nothing is like NCAA 14 stuff. That's ridiculous.
It is. And the other thing that I was talking to a friend of mine within the program or within North Dakota State, all these guys have called plays. Dan Larson's head coach, he's called plays. Randy Hedberg has called plays. Tyler Roll has called plays. Noah Pauly was the offensive coordinator when they pulled him. Like, all of these guys have just this tremendous wealth of experience, and it's really impressive. And so that's why, and I was joking a little bit with AJ on his way out, like, Dan Larson, I'll meet you at the Pizza Ranch Buffet because nobody's going to take you seriously on the Rams at 170 pounds. Big Dan is looking trim and slim right now, and that he just doesn't look like a Ram. But he is ready, I think, to coach that Rams team. As I mentioned on Twitter, 8 years as an offensive coordinator, 3 years as a head coach. This guy understands offensive football, coached the machines on how to run behind the Rams. He's ready. Look, I love AJ, but I don't know as though this offense is going to skip a beat moving Larson over to O-line.
Well, as you just said, that offensive coaching staff has a wealth of knowledge, an absolute wealth of knowledge.
And that's the thing is Larson understands what the offensive line needs to be doing. Roll absolutely understands what the offensive line. He used to run behind it. Now he coaches the tight ends, which are an extension of it. Like I said, I love Blazek, but I don't foresee them having a huge drop-off going to Dan Larson because they all understand the schemes, and Dan's a hell of a football coach, been a head coach, been an offensive coordinator, understands the whole thing. I mean, he gets the big picture. He gets the 30,000-foot view, not just what his running backs are supposed to be doing. I think they're going to be fine. And to add Beshorner, I mean, unbelievable, man. This guy was Football Scoop's 2019 Division II Coordinator of the Year. If this was like a Tyler Roll replacement, I would say, hell of a job, Matt Ants. He's a position coach. Stacked offensive staff. Stacked.
We'll switch gears here to basketball because the 2021 recruiting class has just grabbed another pretty darn good player in Joshua Streit.
Absolutely. This is a kid that I've had a chance now to talk to. We'll play my interview with him in a little bit. But high-level athlete. Had a PWO to Iowa State for football. The Bunnies came in from South Dakota State with a full ride for football. Had the opportunity to go play with his brothers at Northern State if he wanted to. Had a UST offer. I talked to him about that. That's really interesting. I think folks view UST as like this existential threat because it's Division I basketball in the Twin Cities, even if the Gophers aren't calling. And so for NDSU to win a head-to-head battle with UST, I thought was really big, and he gets into his reasoning when we talk about that. So that'll be, again, fun to get into. But just kind of a do-everything kid. He reminds me a little bit of Sam Griesel. He doesn't shoot it like Jared Samuelson. He doesn't shoot it like Paul Miller yet. But 6'7". And like I said, kind of just has that all-around game. Was like a 19-14 guy on a 27-2 team at Eden Valley Watkins. But a lot of that stuff was around the rim, and a lot of that stuff was just based on by far being the best athlete on the floor. Can he develop basketball skills? Absolutely he can develop basketball skills. I think he's going to develop basketball skills. And he ended up playing at D1 Minnesota AAU with multiple future high major teammates and kind of moved into a role player. And I think that might be what you see from him early on in his career. Maybe a guy that averages, you know, 8 points and 5 boards, but plays exceptional defense and is a really good athlete. And is maybe one of the better players on the team as a junior or a senior, but right away is one of those role guys because I think he really has the ability to help like literally wherever they need. He says he can play 1 to 5. Played the 5 because in that level at Minnesota, most posts are 6'4 or 6'5. He was 6'7, so he was the 5 man, but played wing at AAU, brought the ball up sometimes for Eden Valley Watkins, and just one of those guys like a Sam, like a Tyree, like a Malik that can play 2 to 5. And if they're going small, he can play small ball 5. If they're going big, he's good enough at the handle to play the 2, but he'll play a lot of 3 and 4. And this is the vision, man. This is when Coach Richmond, even when you go back to, if you want to call him like recruiting mistakes, like Nnamdi Van Dome, who was 6'5", Kai Cabellas, who was 6'5", we're seeing the vision. That was the vision. That's where he's trying to get. Streit is another level of athlete, though. I mean, this kid is, you can watch some of his football tape. He's strong. He could fill out a little bit. He's a little bit thin. But sinewy, like really just strong as all hell. And a kid that, if you do the scholarship math, is coming on either a 4 for a 5 or a kind of a we'll see deal. So you know he's bought into the program.
Absolutely. And it's something you and I have talked about privately, is now that there's a competition of waiver season with Des McKinney, Grant Nelson, and Bowden Skunberg, bring in Andrew Morgan next year and now Joshua Streit, this could proved to be one of the better freshman classes NDSU basketball has had.
Yeah, absolutely. And covering all spots. You know, you've got your point guard in Des McKinney. You've got your true big in Andrew Morgan. And even though he's short, I mean, because he's strong, you know, he's shorter than Grant, but he's strong. Grant wants to be at the 4. They want Grant at the 4. And then you've got, you know, your wing guys in Bowden and Streit. Yeah, I mean, this is a reload kind of class. While, by the way, a ton of their major contributors are young yet. Sam's only a junior. Malik and Jarius are sophomores. I mean, they have the legs. And this is something I think I'm going to write about for Bison Report. I'll get into this very briefly because I could literally do a whole show on it. But no disrespect to Tim Miles and Saul Phillips. I think, you know, you can't talk Bison Division I basketball without the foundation that those gentlemen laid. But you had the Ben Woodside, Mike Nelson, Brett Winkleman group, and then you had a little period of darkness. You had the then you build up to the Taylor Braun, Trayvon, and Marshall group, but there was no darkness after that. And Richmond is now trying, and that was his goal. That was what he laid out to Gene Taylor when he interviewed for the job, was we want to be consistently the best program in the Summit League, not bring in a 5 or 6 kid class and then bring in a 3 or 4 kid class, build them up until they're juniors and seniors, win the Summit League, and then be bad again. They are trying to be this group that doesn't skip a beat. Now they're 4-0 in league play. As two-time defending Summit League champions, I think you're really starting to see not only the length vision, but the success vision, and it's an exciting time to be by as a basketball fan.
Well, absolutely, and that's something that he has always harped on, is that his famous quote with recruiting is, we do not rebuild, we reload.
Yeah.
He has said that multiple times on signing days and everything like that, and he'd talk about it with some of us even sometimes, but yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And as you mentioned, Sam, like they have the opportunity, with as young as this group is, with the season of competition waiver, and with what will equate now to a 5-man class, to not skip a single beat. I mean, you think of 4 years down the road, you could be starting Des McKinney, Bowden Skunberg, Josh Streit, Grant Nelson, and Andrew Morgan, and you'd feel pretty great about that. And we're talking about, you know, when my baby is going to be in kindergarten. That's how far we are talking down the line. So like I said, just a really exciting time to be, you know, a Bison basketball fan. All right, folks, we, as promised, do have the audio version of the BRTV episode with Joshua Streit, and we're going to play that for you right now.
Here with the newest future Bison, Joshua Streit. That's correct, right? I think I've done my research, so I was on, but I want Bison Nation to know how to correctly, because I'm sure you get Josh Street plenty.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's straight. You were right.
All right, perfect. So with North Dakota State's newest commitment, Eden Valley Watkins, Joshua Streit, how are we doing this morning?
Good. Just got done with a little school. Don't have a class this hour, so not too bad.
So what does your post-hoops world look like? Do you play a spring sport, or are you just kind of in the gym trying to get ready to head to Fargo?
Yeah, that's because I usually played AAU in the spring. So this year I'll probably just be trying to work out and gain some weight before I get up there in the summer. That's what I'll be doing too.
So if you don't mind, kind of describe because I think a lot of people are interested in it from the athlete's perspective, kind of describe this COVID year, as far as, I'm sure it not only affected your season, but it probably affected your recruitment. I don't know if you've even had a chance to go to NDSU. Obviously, they can't host you for a visit like they normally would. I mean, just kind of go into how that was a little bit different for you.
So for AAU, it was really weird because only a certain amount of fans could come in, and they took your temperature, and they would have to bring in your teams like in pods as you went in. And then my parents and friends had to bring their own chair. And then coaches could not come watch you live on AAU. So that was a really, really big difference from what they usually do. For football, high school football wasn't too much different, besides you didn't know if you were going to play that week because COVID. You could have players. We had dudes that left Thursday during practice because they were exposed, and then we had a game plan around that. And then for my high school basketball, obviously you have to wear masks and all that. For the college, no official visits. I did not get to take any official visits, so all my visits had to be through the school or on my own. And I did through the school with NDSU, and that was kind of weird because I did not get to meet the coaches. So actually, I haven't met the coaching staff in person yet.
So with that being said, I mean, how do you, or why do you feel comfortable that North Dakota State is the place? I mean, you haven't had a chance to meet these guys face to face, probably shake their hands, have them come into your living room, talk to mom and dad. Like, I think that's got to be a different, I mean, of course you don't know it any other way. You haven't had another recruitment, but I mean, it's got to be a little different.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. just like it's kind of weird just to think that I haven't met the coaches I'm going to play for the next 5 years. But then yet I feel really comfortable, even though just talking on the phone over Zooms, all the stuff they did and reached out for me. It was really weird not being able to bring them into my house and making them dinner. Cause I remember my brothers had coaches come in. So
I want to talk about your brothers because I think you get, it's always my opinion that the younger brother ends up being the best athlete because he just takes so much from the older ones. How many of your four brothers can you take in one-on-one right now?
I could probably take all three of them. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So
for those of us that don't know, kind of break down the athletic lineage of the Stripe brothers.
So my oldest brother, Jared, he played football at St. John's University. He started 4 years, had a great career there. And then my second oldest brother, Jacob, he's at Northern State in Aberdeen. His freshman year, he won All-American at tight end. And then he broke his ankle last year. So he only was three games into the year doing really well. And then my third brother, Justin, he redshirted at Northern State and now is ready to play.
Right. So I want to, you mentioned football because you are a high level football player. What was it about hoops that made that kind of your decision as far as what you were going to do at the next level?
It was really 50-50 for me for a long time, but I think I always loved basketball. I really only started loving football my junior and senior year. So I just felt like basketball was my calling, and I really wanted to play.
So who all had an interest in you in football, and then who ended up offering you in hoops?
So the two biggest ones were South Dakota State. They offered me in football, and then Iowa State offered me a preferred walk-on in football. And then in hoops, Cal Poly, St. Thomas, Denver, Northern State, St. Cloud State University, and then obviously NDSU.
I want to ask you about one specifically, and that would be the St. Thomas offer, because I think that's an interesting program. I think it's a program that a lot of folks are a little bit nervous about in the Summit League. Like the opportunity to play Division I basketball that isn't for the Gophers, but is still Division I basketball in the Twin Cities. What was their pitch like to you, and how did that whole thing go?
Yeah, so them and NDSU were actually my top two.
Oh, okay.
I was debating on them for a while. Their pitch to me was, do you want to be part of something that's brand new and started something that's going to be great in many years? And saying that, like, I could start something that has never been done before from D3 to D1. But my biggest thing was they can't make the NCAA tournament during my 5 years there. So that was a really big drawback, because the NCAA tournament was a big dream of mine ever since I've been a little kid.
And of course, I mean, you've seen North Dakota State go to multiple NCAA tournament games. What have you seen from NDSU basketball that you like, either this last couple of years with like the Tyson and Vinny squads, or maybe you've had a chance to watch the current crew? What about their style fits your game?
I mean, I watched them a little bit against TCU, and I love how they play as a team. Rocky played AAU with my brother Jacob. I've watched him since I was younger. I love him. I love the way he plays. And just, I've saw clips, and they look great when they play together, and they look unstoppable.
Yeah, I think a big thing for them is versatility, and it's something that you have. I mean, that's like, I talked to Ryan James about you. I talked to a couple other folks about, you know, kind of what's your game, versatile. Like, basically, you can play 2 to 5, and that has to be something that, you know, you mentioned to me when we spoke, your high school team, you're 3 inches taller than everybody you're playing. So, of course, they're going to play 2 to 5. But then you go play, you know, D1 Minnesota AAU ball, and you've got multiple high major. Now you're playing the 3 and the 4. What do you like? Where are you comfortable? What do you like? And what do you kind of foresee as your future at North Dakota State?
Yeah, so I actually think I can play 1 through 5, because in my high school team, I'll bring the ball up sometimes. Okay. But
I didn't mean to disrespect.
No, you're all good. But I think I would rather play a three slash stretch four. I don't like being down on the block. I will for my high school team, but for college sake, I would rather play out on the wing. I feel like I'm better out on the wing. I just need to get a little more consistent shooting. Then I feel like I'll be pretty unstoppable, because if the person's smaller, I'll go on the block, and then if not, I feel like I'm quicker than them.
Your shot, what do you feel like is the next step with your shot? Do you feel like it's just repetition? You just need to get in the gym?
Yeah, I really do. Last spring, I was really focusing on the mechanics of my shot, and I think now it's just getting into the gym and getting more and more shots up with the shooting machine that we have in our school, or just by myself shooting around.
We talked about St. Thomas's pitch to you. I want to get like North Dakota State's pitch to you. You mentioned to me, I think you were recruited by Jaden Olson, who then took the athletic director position at Williston State. And then Coach Brown, who, if you're going to play the four, is actually probably going to, you know, be your coach. Of course, Richmond will be your coach, but KB usually works with the fours and fives. What was his pitch like to you, and why North Dakota State? Because you mentioned like St. Thomas came in and said, hey, we want to be, you know, this and that. Well, so did Cal Poly, so did Denver, so did, you know, the opportunity to play with your brothers. I mean, there was a lot of folks looking for your services, and ultimately you decided to be a Bison.
Yeah. So Coach Richmond's pitch was, we just went to the NCAA tournament the past three out of the 4 years, and obviously they didn't get to go last year.
Yeah.
Is that something you want to be a part of? And I deep down knew I really wanted to be a part of the NCAA tournament, like a team that goes there very often. And Coach Brown, he made me feel like home. I was outstanding every time I talked to him. It was great. And I just think the visit really put me over the top. Even though I couldn't meet with anybody, just the people were great. I loved the campus. Like, I wanted to look at the Civic Center, I think that's what it's called. And they were closed at that time, but I asked them, I'm like, I'm here on a tour, can I go look around? And they were cleaning for COVID, and they allowed me. And then a janitor and another dude really talked to me, and that stood out a lot to me.
Yeah, everybody cares. There's no question about it. All right, last one. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Give us a current – you can go NBA if you want, but a current – like player who, not necessarily that you model your game after, but you watch this guy play and you're like, you know what? That's my game. That's what I do.
Oh, I would say LeBron. I mean, that's kind of,
jeez.
Like, I mean, I'm obviously like, I feel like I can pass like he can, shoot like he can, drive like he can, but probably more like Michael Porter Jr. kind of type.
Okay.
Explosive. Can shoot, smart. I feel like he has high basketball IQ. So.
All right. I love it. I mean, you play multiple positions. You do a lot of things well. That's what you mean. I love it. All right, Josh, thank you so much for the time, and we're excited to get you up to Fargo.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Josh has been great. Obviously, you know, spoke to me for that piece we did on Bison Report with the written interview, and then came back for more to do the BRTV episode. So the young man has been extremely generous with his time, is a well-spoken kid, is a bright kid, and I'm excited for him to get to Fargo. I think he's going to fit in just great.
Yeah, I mean, if Bison fans have any worry about whether he may struggle a little bit on the boards, go watch, like you said, his recruiting tape. And just watch the first series of him on a block downfield. He pushes a kid like Michael Orr in the blind side, yeah, almost halfway across the field.
I just hope that, you know, Coach Roll will stay away. I think there might be a little bit of a Greg Paulus potential. If he plays right away for Dave, maybe then he can play that fifth year and catch some passes like I had always dreamed Dexter Werner might do.
Let's go into the Omaha series this weekend, Friday and Saturday. A couple of wins. Night one got dicey. Wanyang Tut had one heck of a night.
He really did. 31 points on 14 of 19 from the field. I mean, 31, like, so like when Ben Woodside scored 60, a ton of that was on the at the free throw line. And with Tut being a thick-bodied dude, you would think, okay, if he got 31, he was probably 8 for 9 or 10 of 11 at the free throw line. 3 out of 4. So this was actually bucket-getting at a high rate. And really something like Nate, our guy Nate, who I'm sure is listening to this, he texted me, he's like, hey, can you let the bigs know that he likes to go left? I mean, it was the same move, and good for him, but it was the same move over and over and over again. Little dip, left hook over right shoulder, until the cows came home. It was wild how often that move was successful, but Omaha needed it, man, to stay kind of in that game, and Wan Yang Tut was, he was a big, big deal on night one.
And then switch into the NDSU side.
Yeah.
The two guys I think we're going to talk about a lot this year are Rocky Cruiser and Sam Griesel.
Yeah, it was interesting because I just had done the BRTV episode with Tyree, and he had led the Bison in scoring more than any other player. And then you bring him, you get the guys home to the Shack, and it's like, no, this is Sam and Rocky's team. And that's no disrespect to Tyree. And part of it is, too, like, those guys are a little bit more animated. Tyree's so quiet and so stone cold killer, so efficient, you know, not a big chest thumper, not that kind of stuff, but like the leaders of the squad emotionally, and it turns out points per game wise after this weekend, are going to be Sam Griesel and Rocky Cruiser. Rocky was awesome on both nights, frankly, had 19 and 12. Honest to God, I think 19 and 12 might have been a stat line both nights. I have to look at night two to confirm that, but high level, I think right now, I haven't done a ton of looking around the league. I would guess Rabracha is up there, but I think Rocky's got to be first team All Summit at this point at the five. I know they don't. I'm not so sure as though they actually vote on it that way, where you have to have a five man. But he has been exceptional, specifically in league play. He has been exceptional. Really has the ability to stretch out opposing bigs. Not a lot of bigs have the ability to be 23 feet away from the basket from Rocky Cruiser, because he will pump fake and cross you up and go to the rim, which is just not something a lot of 6'10 guys in this league could do. And then Sam just does absolutely whatever the team needs. Hits that sick fadeaway right in front of us where we were sitting on the baseline on night one. But 19 points, you know, 5 boards. Ended up with an assist, ended up with a steal, 6 of 7 from the line, which has been a struggle for him in the past, but really seems to have kind of grabbed on, as we asked him to do in Sioux Falls, to that alpha mantle. Like, Sam, you're the man. You need to look in the mirror and tell yourself you're the man. He's the man now.
Absolutely. The thing with Rocky's double-double is that it was on Matt Pyle.
Yeah.
Matt, that's a tough double-double. He is like a brick wall in terms of just grabbing rebounds and just being a thick-bodied kid.
Yeah, I made a joke on Twitter that I thought when Odell was guarding Matt Pyle, because Odell was like a 3-star left tackle prospect, that maybe the only guy in the Summit League who's stronger than Matt Pyle might be Odell Wilson. That guy is an absolute brick. What I think, though, and Richmond said this the following night at the press conference, it almost felt like a loss because it had to come down to that Sam fadeaway at the end. And really that 5-point possession is what he'll point to, where I think Tyree gets a big bucket and does, you know, the thing or too little. And then mouse in the house is what I call it. And Jarius Cook, I believe, said something and got teed up for saying something. And as mentioned, they had a 5-point possession. I think 2 free throws and a Marlon Ruffin 3. That left kind of a dirty taste in everybody's mouth after night one.
Yeah. Glad Sam hit the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great-looking shot, too. But everybody on that team will tell you that should never have even come to that.
No, I think they were up 12 with, like, 2 minutes left. And two, like, actually 2 minutes left. Not 2 minutes and 37 seconds. That shouldn't have been anywhere like that. Now, moving on to night two. Wan Yang Tut shut down 5 points. They did a much, much better job on Tut. And really, I thought did a better job, even though I think the scoring outputs were virtually the same. I thought they looked better defensively on Saturday night.
Absolutely. It helps when a guy you really don't think is going to score 31, doesn't score 31 again. So the matchups were probably a little more right. They probably looked at film and just saw that he likes to go left over right, shoulder fade on the block, exactly like you said.
For sure, and you got more of the Rocky and Sam show. Rocky had 19-11 on night two, so not 19-12, but still a very, very high-level double-double for Mr. Cruiser. Also four dimes for Mr. Cruiser, passing well out of the post in 31 minutes of play. Sam Griesel, again, 18 points, four boards, three assists, and a block everywhere he needed to be. My opinion, though, the story of that night was the Grant Nelson coming out party. Tip slam, unbelievable. But had some other really, really good moves. 5 of 9 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point. And that, I think, that'll come. He's got to be below 20% on the year. But this is a kid that I think we mentioned last time hit like 56 threes as a high schooler. He has the ability to knock down that shot. And ultimately, the kid just was everywhere. 11 points, 8 boards, 4 blocks, an assist. He was just everything that the Bison needed him to be in 27 minutes of time. Can spell Rocky. Now, they actually had bigs do it, but could spell Rocky at the 5. Does come in and play the 4. He's just a matchup nightmare. I mean, I think about this kid and what he might be like as a redshirt sophomore. Not next year, but the year after that. I'll say it now. I really think that, and I believe he will, because I think he's really bought into the program. Sometime in the next 4 or 5 seasons, Grant Nelson is going to be the Summit League Player of the Year. I really, truly believe that. I think he will be not only the best player on North Dakota State's team, but the best player in the league at some point during his Bison career.
I think you could see him becoming more and more comfortable, too.
Absolutely.
Even when he didn't have the 11-8 night like he did night one, everything's starting to slow down for him a little bit. He gets in. He's craftier with his moves. I mean, his hooks look a lot better. He's a lot more patient. He's not rushing everything. This could be the beginning of what could be a very long period for everybody else in the Summit League.
And I think with Grant, too, not only has the game slowed down for him because he's just not as jittery or he's more confident, the lights aren't so bright. And I'm not saying that he's mentally weak or anything like that, but any true freshman that's going to be like that is a simple fact that, like, it's different playing Western. It's different playing Omaha. He made his debut against a very long and athletic Nevada team, Nebraska, Power 5, Creighton, top 10 team in the country, Kansas, top 10 team in the country. It is just flat-out different playing Summit League 4s, which is not to be disrespectful to the Summit League, but to the Summit League. I mean, it's a one-bid league. It's not a Power 5 conference. So he's getting more comfortable, but the level of competition is also allowing him to get more comfortable. And like I said, he's just a complete mismatch. All right, we are going to break down the upcoming series, because this is a mega pod. We probably are not going to be able to get another show out to you guys before the series. So before we get to the UND side, I had a chance briefly to chat with NDSU star Sam Griesel.
Here with Bison Jr. We're going to go point guard. Bison Jr. point guard, Sam Griesel. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to kind of talk to you about the difference in what that position is from first 4 minutes of the Nevada game to now. I mean, how much have things slowed down? Is it a comfort level thing? Because you look like a different player.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, looking at the past 2 years, I have the ball in my hands a lot more. And I would say, yeah, it's a comfort thing. And definitely things have slowed down. I've learned to kind of just take what the defense gives me and not force anything and, you know, not make the great play, but just like the next right play. And I think that's really been the big thing for me is just, you know, make the simple play for my teammates, because obviously we have plenty of players that can make plays.
What do you think the biggest, like, difference or transition has been as far as, is it you guys, like you and Rocky being primary instead of Tyson and Vinny, or is it the switch to point guard?
I don't know. Like I said, I think it's, I guess you could say the switch to point guard, just the ball is going to be in my hands, and I'm learning each day how to manage the game and stuff like that. Just like I said, taking what the defense gives us, and if that's me, if that's Rocky, if that's Tyree, if that's, you know, anyone on our roster, we all have confidence in that player to get the job done.
Late in the shot clock, do you feel like you guys are still kind of figuring that out, or do you have kind of, you know, who wants the ball, you know what spots you want to get into?
Yeah, I think I would say we kind of have a plan on once it gets down to 10 or whatever, we have kind of a, not a play, but a look that we're looking for, whether that's, you know, me with the ball or Rocky or Tyree, whatever. It's really just kind of, I guess, up in the air, but we have like a game plan with it.
How much fun is that lineup where Jerry sits and Grant Nelson comes in and you guys are all between 6'5 and 6'10?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun on the defensive end, and creates a lot of matchup problems for us, or I guess for the other team. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
You guys started, I think, 0-5, but now you've obviously gotten back to 500. Is this a place you thought you could be with the way the season started? I mean, you guys were thrown right into the fire. You had to know with those matchups that you probably weren't going to be 5-0. But how do you feel like you guys have come forward?
For sure. I think during that first stretch, the big thing for us was, you know, we knew that it was going to be hard. But at the end of the day, those games really prepared us for, you know, the conference season, and playing, you know, high major teams it's important not to, like, you know, that it's not detrimental to your confidence and stuff like that. And I think the fact that we hung with Kansas and stuff like that really helped us. And like I said, it's helping us right now for sure.
Bug you at all that you won't get UND at your place at all this season?
Honestly, I think two wins there would be sweeter than sure. Two wins here. So hopefully that's what happens this weekend. But we'll see.
What do they look like as a ball club as opposed to the squad you guys beat in Sioux Falls?
I mean, they definitely have some more things figured out. I guess, you know, early in the year, a lot of teams are looking just like we were, kind of finding roles and stuff like that. But it's clear that, you know, they have more, like, determined roles and stuff like that, and just a more comfortable team for sure.
You mentioned determined roles. I think everybody goes down there, like, you're not going to be the one who guards Rabracha. That's not going to be the deal. Who are the other guys that you guys need to focus on defensively, guys that maybe you and Tyree might check?
Yeah. Igbagnugo is playing really well. He's definitely playing with a lot more confidence. So that's one we'll kind of have to keep in check and stuff like that. And then if Iheanacho plays, their freshman point guard, obviously he's a pretty big point guard, and he's been playing well throughout this year. So just kind of keeping the other guys in check.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Want to thank NDSU SID Wes Offerman for making Sam available, and of course want to thank Sam for his time. Always great to chat with number 5. And speaking of the 5, that's who you got to stop. At the University of North Dakota, not number 5, but their 5, their post, their pivot, their center, Philip Rabracha, who rumor has it is 28 years old. No, he is 23, I think that shows. I mean, he's mature, he's crafty, he's a hell of a player, and was honestly. They've got some, as Sam mentioned, they've fleshed out some roles a little bit more at UND. But my God, man, we watched his 3 games down in Sioux Falls, and he was their offense.
Entirely. And I don't know if it's their game plan, but he loves the 18-foot just elbow jump shot. He is elbow to elbow.
Yep.
I can make a 3 if you need me to, but I am elbow to elbow. And he looked a lot more gritty than he has in years past, just in grabbing rebounds and kind of getting his nose in there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was a fine player. I think he kind of annoyed, like, Dexter 2 years ago. And then last year was a very nice compliment to Marlon. But then Marlon goes out, and it's his squad. And you could really tell that he felt free enough to take the shot like whenever he wanted, you know, and that to me seems like a big deal, and seems like he's gotten a lot better at that because he just knows, like, I'm the man. And like that thing that we said with Sam, Vinny was the man, and if Vinny wasn't, Tyson was the man. But they UND is at a point where it runs through Rebraches. So you can almost get like that Paul Miller, Marlon Stewart mindset where it's not a bad shot if I take it. Like a contested 18-footer, if Marlon Stewart is, what I'm trying to say is like, if Marlon Stewart is still on UND, I think Paul Sather's not like thrilled with a contested 19-foot fadeaway from Rebraches. But now it goes in, and like he's not that mad because you're the man. We run our offense through you, and if you think that this guy guarding you is giving you too much space and you want to pop a mid-range jumper that the analytics say is a terrible shot, but you want to pop it in his face, we're fine because that's our offense right now. And, you know, he's really, really, really been exceptional. A couple of news items on UND, though. Iheanacho was not available last week. Spoken to a few folks. I think that he's going to play this weekend. But Deshaun Allen Eikens, who was, I don't know if famous is the right word, but was a higher-level recruit in the state of North Dakota, ended up setting the freshman record at UND for total points last year, was a starter on last year's, you know, Summit League runner-up squad. He has entered the portal. He is gone. He is not going to be a part of things. Granted, he didn't play when NDSU narrowly beat UND in Sioux Falls. It's not a change from that game, but no longer part of the program there.
Yeah, and that is a bit of a blow for them just in terms of what they haven't had.
Right, like overall talent, length, athleticism, absolutely.
Right. And what you were just talking about, how much better UND and Rebraches have gotten, I think NDSU's gotten twice as good as the last time they played UND. Yeah, I think that
they are
the
playing
team,
way better.
The team that played Saturday against Omaha would beat the same team that won against UND by one or two. I think this team on Saturday would beat that other NDSU team by almost 20.
Yeah, I think so too. And a big part of what they're going to try to do as well is Caleb Nero. I believe he is the Weber State transfer and is probably going to be that lead guard position for UND. Brady Danielson, kind of a hustle guy that followed Paul Sather, was going to be a Wolf at Northern State, ended up being a Fighting Hawk at UND. But it's a scrappy group. Folks, it's still, though, not a great group. I know that, you know, they beat USD down in the Dakota Showcase, hung with South Dakota State more than we thought they would, and then North Dakota State, man, that was a nail-biter. But, you know, folks, they're 3-10, and not really, you know, a great win either. Like, they kind of narrowly beat, although, actually, you know what? Beating Oro in Tulsa is a big deal. That's a great win. But we're absolutely thundersmacked the next night. I think they kind of exerted themselves or against Oro Roberts. But a split with UMKC at home, that's not great. Lost by 33 to Drake. Lost by double digits twice at SIU. And then, you know, we're blown out by Minnesota and Miami and lost to Dixie State, which is kind of wild. It's just not a great club. If you're North Dakota State, I think your goal is definitely to go down there and get a sweep. That's, I think, where Richmond has been phenomenal there. Yeah, Marlon got that bucket last year, but he's not there anymore, and that is a building where Coach Richmond has won quite a bit.
Yeah, like you had said, the win over Oral Roberts is big. That is. Winning in Tulsa is tough.
Yep.
But they get beat the next night by 17, and I don't really know that that's entirely on UND. You're playing a road series now where it's back-to-back nights. You win a game. There's not a lot of momentum when you're on the road to try and try and build off of that, especially when you're in another team's home stadium. That's going to be tough, but that is a good win. That's conference basketball too.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, anybody can get beat by anybody. Like what we saw when we were in at the Pentagon.
Yep.
Friedel gets kicked out. Umude has
45, 40, whatever it was.
And they wallop
yep.
a South Dakota State team that played with West Virginia.
Yeah.
So it's just conference basketball. It'll get more and more interesting as the weeks go on, I believe. But I think you're exactly right. A sweep seems to be what should be the attainable goal this weekend. And it all starts and stops with how they handle Rabracha.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think having the struggle in the low post against Juan Yang Tut is going to be a big deal for Rabracha. I think the Trees lineup is my new favorite lineup. And I love Jarius Cook. I love his ability to fill it up. I'd love to see Jackson at Notech at the two a little bit more. That doesn't seem like something we're going to get. At that two-guard spot, I love Edie. I love it when he plays the two and they put Grant in at the four. They're so nasty defensively. I think you see the Trees lineup quite a bit where if a switch happens, you still might end up with Malik or Grant on Rabracha if Rocky gets switched off of Rabracha. And just they can make his life a living hell, I think. And this is something, you know, that Nate and I talked about, drive Richmond nuts. But, Sam, look at the schedule, man. Let's say they go and get a split this weekend instead. They're absolutely, God is my witness, going to sweep Denver. They're not good. Yeah, they're not good. No. And it's a home series. And UMKC, I'm looking at this schedule, and I'm thinking at worst 8-2. At worst. And that's splitting at UND where I think they can sweep and splitting in Kansas City where I think they can sweep. You're going to have your first place North Dakota State Bison men's basketball team for quite a while, and that'll set up a huge, huge, huge February at the Shack with hosting Oral and hosting South Dakota State. But that is another show for another day. Sam, thank you so much for stopping out at the Green and Gold Studio so that we could get this done. Thank you to Josh Streit, and thank you to Sam Griesel for his time. Folks, this episode of Bison Report Radio has been brought to you by Rise Fitness, who have reopened thanks to the slightly more relaxed protocols, I guess, if you will, in Minnesota. Chase and Aaron Lean are doing a great job. Chase, of course, being Bison legend. Chase Morlock with their Elevate Fitness program for adults, as well, of course, as their designed sports-specific and just general fitness plans for young athletes, college age and high school age. They just do such a great job over there in Moorhead. I've been able to get a little bit back into the gym, and let me tell you what. The rules in Minnesota right now is you have to work out with a mask on. It's a different animal. it is a different animal, but they've actually made phenomenal adjustments based on that as well, making their workouts a little bit more doable with a face mask on. So always adapting, always doing an excellent job over there at Rise Fitness. All right, folks, we will catch you after the UND series. Have a great weekend. Go Bison.